Well, I was going to say good morning and happy Patriots Monday, but there is not much good or happy about it. We're at Gillette Stadium. Mm-hmm. The Patriots lose bigly, Curtis, 30-13 to the 49ers, and I am at a loss for why Jerod Mayo will probably come on this show at 9:30 this morning and tell us that Jacoby Brissett is still your starting quarterback.
The best part about the game was it was great background noise for people to fall asleep to. New England, I could hear everybody snoring. It was sad to watch.
Yeah.
There wasn't a part, start to finish, that I was like, here's a little bit of hope. Zero. Yeah,
no.
There was none at all.
No, there was.
I don't think I've ever had that experience where I was legitimately offended by what I saw, where you have the fumble, the pick six, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, this was all known to Robert Kraft. Everybody looked at this offensive line and said, if they lose Andrews, they're already cooked.
Mm-hmm.
The injuries are not unexpected on the offensive line. It's just how bad are you going to get hit? Every year, every team suffers 1 to 2 catastrophic injuries among the 5 offensive linemen. And you watch that, and Robert Kraft has the audacity to be bitching to people about getting into the Hall of Fame 4 straight years, 1-3. One common denominator, the owner, and cheaping out on this team. There's no other reason way to describe it. They elected to force their fan base to watch that product yesterday, and it is pathetic. It is so pathetic. Look at all the teams that have rebuilt once or twice in the last 5 years.
Hey, it is. You talk about the pick six.
Uh-huh.
That is, from a veteran quarterback, unacceptable. Not acceptable in any way, shape, or form. Ramondre Stevenson with another fumble.
Yet again.
That's 4 in 4 games. That is unacceptable.
Right.
It is. And you're right, Curtis. There's some dereliction of duty there when you lose Trent Brown and you don't do anything really to replace him or care about what your offensive line is going to look like. And how do you expect going into the season with Jacoby Brissett that you're not going to need to have an extraordinary offensive line in some way, shape, or form?
And even without watching our game, watching the other games around the league where most of the teams are sitting at 2-2. Like, you look around mm-hmm. the league, besides the Chiefs and besides the Seahawks and besides the Vikings, nobody else is undefeated. Everybody is kind of having these random losses, these upsets. But watching the teams that have beat our team and then how bad they look against other teams that aren't that much better. Like
You mean like the Jets?
Yeah, it's just, it makes us look so much worse.
Well, that was so great, that Jets loss. But yes, you're right. And I would say this as well. Watching the BC football team is my whole life. You would watch BC at noon, and then at 3:30 you'd put on CBS and you'd see Alabama, and you'd be like, this isn't even the same sport. Watching the Patriots offense and every other offense in the NFL, it's like watching those god-awful BC teams where a completed pass is cause for celebration.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. The way I look at it, I blame Robert not for the fact that he didn't want to spend money, because we know they went after Brandon Ayuk. I blame him for hiring Elliott Wolf and putting Elliott Wolf in the position of not saying we need to do something with the offensive line, or saying, you know what, we don't like what's available out there in the offensive line, so we're just going to kind of go, like, you know, to the flea market shopping for a couple offensive linemen, because we don't really think there's anything worth spending money on in the O-line. I blame him.
Wait, but who hired Elliott Wolf?
That's what I said. I blame Robert for hiring Elliott Wolf.
So you think Elliott Wolf didn't want to spend money this offseason?
I think that Elliott Wolf got to a position, and they kind of said this a little bit when it happened with the Calvin Ridley thing, if you listen closely, where they kind of said, we like him, but we don't think he's worth that type of money. Now
Calvin Ridley was at the end of the offseason.
No.
You had the entire offseason to build the offensive line.
Yes, and I think what they did, or what Elliott Wolf did with the offensive line, I don't think he felt like there was guys out there worth spending money on, so they cheaped out, because we know they were willing to spend money on, because they were willing to make Brandon Ayuk the highest paid wide receiver or give him, what, $85 million?
Just because I put my hand on my wallet when the bill comes doesn't mean I'm willing to spend money.
Well, no, no.
I'm right here, Curtis.
But that's all we
can. I am right here.
That's all we can go on.
No, we go on what they actually spent, not who they reportedly wanted to spend.
No, no, but what I'm saying is we can only go on that they were – That they had the best offer out there for Ayuk.
I don't care about that at all. I really don't. I think that the way this team built their roster this offseason was...
an Elliott Wolf misappropriation of being to evaluate talent out there. And I think Elliott Wolf said, we are not going after... we don't think there is any top-tier offensive lineman. That's why they went after the kid. Who was the kid that they... the one free agent they went after. Like, basically, they were shopping in the bargain bin when it came to O-linemen.
But Curtis is right. It's really, and I understand your question, and we can talk about it all morning. It's on the owner. I mean, I don't think it's on anybody else.
Well, that's why I said for hiring Elliott Wolf.
Well,
but he also is the decider. I don't care what you say.
There's no more silos.
Who signs the check.
Right.
Like, it is all on Robert Kraft. And it can't be on Robert Kraft when things are going well and not when...
I don't know what you guys want. You either want an owner that stays out of it, or you want an owner that gets his nose in it. So if Robert says...
No, I want an owner that puts a lot of money into the roster.
Right, but if an owner says, hey, I'm hiring you to go out there and get players, and then this GM, Elliott Wolf, goes, well, you know what? There's no one really worth spending on in the offensive line market. We're going to kind of... we're going to go the lower route of signing guys in that effect. The owner is basically like, okay, I'm taking what you're telling me and going with it. You want the owner to come down and go, no, we need to be signing this guy, that guy?
I want there to be a difference when signing guys compared to the Bill Belichick approach, because that's what Kraft told us it would be.
And
it would be different than what we've seen in the past. Things were going to be different around here, and I haven't seen any difference.
And I would also add that I hate when powerful people act like they are powerless. And Robert Kraft would have you believe that he's the most powerful owner in all of the NFL. Yet when it comes to his roster, he's taking orders from Elliott effing Wolf. Give me a break.
So what is he doing then?
The product is unwatchable.
It's awful. It's a disgrace.
And I would imagine that come Sunday, I mean, I guess the weather's going to be great. And I mean, it's NFL football on a Sunday, so there will be some people here, but I can't imagine after that what you saw yesterday on the heels of what you saw Thursday night the prior against the Jets, and short of Jerod Mayo coming on this show at 9:30 this morning and saying that Drake May is the starter, that there are going to be an awful lot of people here against the Dolphins on Sunday. It's unwatchable.
I was in Southie last night, and I saw people out and about like there was nothing going on in the world. The Patriots have made their team disappear. And I don't begrudge anybody turning this team off. What you saw yesterday was the end result of an offseason where your organization said, we were starting a new day, building the foundation of the next long dynastic run. We all hoped. What's the foundation of a football team?
I would say it's your quarterback.
I would say it's the offensive line.
Okay.
Because you need to protect everything. It is the most important. The two lines in the NFL protect the most important thing. So how do you conduct a rebuild if you don't have a foundation? And I don't care what they say, Wiggy. I don't disagree with what you're saying, that Elliott Wolf probably thought people were going to be overpaid and Heim Bloom was stuck to numbers in baseball. Maybe that's what he's doing. On May 10th, you looked at this offensive line and you said, that's not an NFL-ready offensive line. You had ample time and opportunity.
Right, but that's on Elliott Wolf. You know why I put it on him?
I put it on the guy that hired him.
That's why I said, I blame Robert Kraft for hiring Elliott Wolf, because I don't think Elliott Wolf is good enough. And here's the reason why I know that it's on Elliott Wolf. When you look at when you look at the quarterback situation, they had a couple opportunities, whether it was to go get Russell Wilson, whether or not you like him or not, whether it was to go get Justin Fields.
That's right.
What did they do?
Lamar Jackson.
No. I'm just talking about those lower-level backup quarterbacks.
They had the opportunity.
What did they do? They went out and got Jacoby Brissett. Where did Jacoby Brissett come from?
The bargain bin.
Where did he come from? He came from Cleveland. Alex Van Pelt, he had a relationship with. Who has a relationship with Alex Van Pelt? Elliott Wolf. So Elliott Wolf is building this offense around guys that him and Van Pelt are looking at. Because when you looked at the free agent quarterback market, you could have went out and got Flacco. You could have tried to go get Russell Wilson.
Gardner Minshew.
You could have. There was a number of guys that were better than Jacoby Brissett.
Right.
But because Elliott Wolf empowered Alex Van Pelt, they brought in Cleveland guys. So when I look at this, I blame Kraft for hiring him because I think Elliott Wolf goes, hey, Robert, there's no one really worth spending the money on in the offensive line area, but we're going to sign a few of these lower-level guys, and I put the O-line problems at the foot of him. That's where I blame Robert. I don't blame Robert for not spending the money because you can't tell me all these rumors and all these people that know were like the Patriots were willing to spend more money for Brandon Ayuk.
But in the actual free agency, I'm not talking about August. I'm talking about over the course
March,
of the NFL free
March
agency.
March and April.
Did you ever hear the Patriots in on number one level caliber players across the NFL?
No.
They were never engaged.
No. Well, just the Calvin Ridley stuff. And then they came on and said, well, you know, Gerard Mayo came on and said, we like Calvin Ridley or there's guys out there, but maybe we don't feel like this guy is worth that type of money. Well, that's their evaluation.
And to be clear on this argument, when you refer to Robert Kraft hiring Elliott Wolf, you mean elevating Elliott Wolf.
Elevating
him. He's been here for 2 years.
Right.
Bill actually hired him.
Right. I would say I actually respect Elliott Wolf for this. He's hired a coaching staff where he won't have to replace anyone when they take a head coaching job elsewhere.
Well,
bit of a cold, Wiggy?
No.
Oh, you sound a little bit.
He's worked up this morning.
Yeah, choked up.
Coach is fired up this
morning.
Well,
this team sucks. Yeah. I was at the Daily Catch watching the game with some friends, and in the third quarter.
Chime ding. Ding, on
ding
the
it up, Sean.
Ding it
up. I don't eat seafood.
I know. What'd you eat?
Ding it up. Ding it up.
I just had a Caesar salad.
Oh, good man.
Then, you love Caesar salad.
Yeah, I mean, that's when I go to seafood restaurants.
You know there's anchovies sometimes in those.
Yeah, but I make sure they don't put them on.
No anchovies,
but it was like after the big catch or the interception by Jabril Peppers, mm-hmm. somebody was like, hey, yeah, can you change this game and put the Kansas City game on? So, I mean, I wasn't fighting it. I was like, all right, let's watch the Kansas City game.
Well, it's a Patriots Monday, and we are at Gillette Stadium. And a lot to get to on the show this morning, including our leads coming up in just about 10 minutes at around 6:25. And then they set it at 7. That's a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. Courtney with the news coming up at 7:30 this morning. That includes the dumbest of the day and why the pesky hurricane over the weekend almost got in the way of content-seeking weather influencers. And then we'll get to Boomer Esiason at 8 this morning.
Boomer!
And talk to Boomer about the disaster that is the, I guess, perhaps the worst team in the NFL right now. You're New England Patriots. And then Gerard Mayo will be here with us at Gillette at 9:30 this morning. So if you want to be on, the number to call is 617-779-7937. If you prefer to text, you can text on the Subaru of New England text line, which is 37937. And here she is with what is trending first thing this morning, our very own Courtney.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Timeout Market Boston. The Red Sox end the season with a win 3-1 the final from Fenway Park, but no one is really talking about that this morning. They're all talking about this.
It breaks your heart. It is designed to break your heart. The game begins in the spring when everything else begins again, and it blossoms in the summer, filling the afternoons and evenings. And then as soon as the chill rains come, it stops. And it leaves you to face the fall alone. You count on it, rely on it, to buffer the passage of time, to keep the memory of sunshine and high skies alive. And just when you need it most, it stops, and summer is gone. Another season is gone. My 42 years here have gone so quickly. But now it's time to say goodbye to Red Sox Nation, at least on a regular basis, and to pass the baton to my good friend, Will Fleming.
Very emotional after 42 years, and Will Fleming very emotional during that.
Did Will cry?
Yes.
I thought I heard that when I was listening.
Right.
Joe Castiglione, 42 years in this godforsaken business. It's incredibly impressive.
Yeah.
and he deserves all the flowers. I don't know who is going to replace him.
Was Joe trying to make that announcement right there?
I thought that as well.
I don't know. Those are big shoes to fill, and we will see. And
that's kind of a shot at me.
I mean, you were interested in the job.
I mean, when summer ends, yeah, I'm never ready.
Yeah, I understand.
You don't want to be the next guy.
Right. Whole bay potato chips, guy.
You don't wait till they move on from that guy, maybe.
I think Will just moved in. He's just going to sleep there all offseason.
Yeah.
Will would be good.
Yeah.
Can you believe this?
The Patriots lose to the Niners 30-13 in San Fran. Jacoby Brissett was sacked 6 times in the loss while completing 19-32 passes for 168 yards, an interception, and a touchdown. We did get handed some injuries in this one. David Andrews, Kyle Duggar, and Caden Wallace all exited the game and did not return. If we have one positive to take away, Joe Sly put the Pats on the board with a 63-yard field goal as time expired in the second quarter. The kick set a new record as the longest field goal in franchise history.
Excellent.
Yep. All right. Stunning.
Yep. Beating Steven Guskowski by a yard.
Yep. Two NFL games tonight for Monday Night Football. We've got Titans at Dolphins at 7:30 and Seahawks at Lions at 8:15. In college, yikes, Wiggy, Georgia fell to Alabama.
Oh, they're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats.
I did see some Alabama merch that had Trump on it saying they're eating the dogs.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
What a football game that was.
Oh, man.
That was an awesome football game.
Yeah, I was out at Sabre and I was kind of catching it. I wasn't at home.
Did you call Greg?
Yeah, Greg hooked me up with it. I wasn't able to see it. And it was like, I look back and at one point it was like 30-3. And I was like, man, what the hell happened in this one?
Yeah.
And then I ended up at another spot. God forbid I say the name of it. Mastros. And
that's two.
And next thing I know, it's 30-15. It's 30-21, I believe it went to. And then it was 30-21. And next thing you know, boom, here come Georgia. And they go up. And then the 17-year-old wide receiver.
Ryan Williams.
Woo!
17 years old. If you just, and it's most likely to happen, if the Patriots stink like they do for another couple years, you can get him as a 19-year-old, Curtis.
Awesome.
Man, and then that was it. And then Carson Beck threw an interception in the end zone, which basically sealed the deal.
But that first long pass to him where he tipped it to himself.
Yeah.
And then that the game winner.
Right.
That move.
Oh, that was sick.
It was all world.
And the broadcast was so great. I loved the Dave Matthews, Nick Saban intro to the game. I've never been to a big SEC game. That looks like something that's
pretty cool.
Be done.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Great.
41-34 was the final in Tuscaloosa. That drops Wiggy's Dogs to 5 this week in AP's top 25. And BC had a scary one on Saturday. They pulled it off 21-20 against Western Kentucky without Tom Castellanos. Transfer Grayson James was in for Castellanos. BC is now 4-1 on the season. No real update on when Castellanos is expected to be back.
Another game BC loses every other year.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw, we were talking last week. You know Western Kentucky, what their mascot is?
The Hilltoppers.
The Hilltoppers.
God, you're supposed. I had a whole one-liner ready to go.
Oh,
you guys know what the Western Kentucky mascot is?
No,
the Lindsays.
Oh, no. Oh.
Curtis. All right. Oh, thank you.
No,
all right. All right.
Yeah.
We kind of paused for a minute, waiting for.
That's true. It's on me. We'll do it again at 8.
And I wish I had gone with my one report
over
the weekend.
I
couldn't get that second source locked down. So.
Courtney did have that first, the Tommy Castellanos out.
Be careful.
I stayed out. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Time Out Market Boston. Nestled in the Fenway, from live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you. 53 degrees, cloudy skies. Going to be cloudy in the afternoon, high around 70.
Well, it is a miserable morning to be a Patriots fan, and we will let you talk it out all morning long. Get it out. Get the anger out. Get the frustration out. We'll talk to the head coach of the New England Patriots here at Gillette Stadium at 9:30 on a Patriots Monday at WEEI.